And now together, let's read Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for humans, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. There's the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. He was so excited about his very first full-time job. He had worked and dreamed so many years, slaved through college, worked like two or three jobs sometimes just to make it. And finally the day came. So he arrived at his office 1 hour early and just sat in the car, anticipating going into his new office. Finally, when someone showed up, he went and sat. Loved his new digs, loved his computer, and figured out how to work the phone, connected with his administrative assistant, and met all the people on the floor. He was so excited about working with them. Finally, when the day ended, he just couldn't believe that he was so blessed to have such a wonderful job. Then the next day when he got up, he was like, oh no, I have to go again? Oh, great. Well, got up, got dressed, and you know, got there about 30 minutes early, waited, but this time, someone else had beat him to the office, and so he went in and got the tour again, and this time figured out how to run the copy machine and kind of checking it out. It was good. Well, the third day, he came just at the start of work. And the third day, he kind of started getting acclimated. He forgot his lunch and started kind of figuring out what he needed to do. Well, after a couple weeks, this whole work thing wasn't what he thought it was. Work's work. He had to figure out the office politics and figure out who to ask to do what. And he had to figure out that, like, work is work. So it took him some time. The days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, months turned into years. And after a couple years, he started to get the hang of it. He kind of started to figure out that he liked his career. He liked his job. Started liking his coworkers. In fact, with one of them was struggling, he simply went and prayed with her. Said, you know, I'm praying for you and I'm thinking about you and I hope that you're okay with all this. And she cried. It made a difference to him. Changed the dynamics of the office. Then also, he started caring about his industry, caring about his company. He wanted his company to do well. He wasn't just there to punch a time clock. And that changed the dynamics within. He started caring about his work, dreaming about the future of his company, dreaming about his career. He wasn't just trying to make it through the day anymore. His work meant something. So when it was time to retire, he was looking forward to doing nothing. In fact, just before he retired, he gave out all these little cards because he was the general counsel of Shell Oil, this guy John Esquivel. He was about to retire. He was ready to retire, and he passed out these cards, and he said, on the card, he had his new title, Retired. And on the back, he had three rules. Number one, I don't do nothing before 9 a.m. Number two, I don't do nothing unless it's fun. And number three, refer back to rule one and two. And he said, I'm going to live by these rules now. That's my life. Hey, got an amen there. All right. Well, a couple months passed. And all of a sudden, he became the lay leader of the church and the lay leader of the whole annual conference. He had to travel to business meetings, and I saw him at a 7 o'clock a.m. meeting after a couple months, and I went up to him and I said, John, what happened to all the rules? He said, those rules don't apply anymore because now I'm building my life work. In fact, he was busier when he was retired than he was working for Shell Oil. And he loved every minute of it. You know, everyone works. Whether it's a job that you get paid for, that you clock in, or that you sit in an office, or that you go and sell for, or a teacher, or a banker, or a business person, or a police officer, or whether you do yard work, maybe clean the dishes, do the dishes, or maybe if you take care of kids or grandkids, either in the house or at daycare, whatever it is, even if you retired, and you know, if you're retired, you probably work more, but we all work. It's not if we work or when we work. My question to us this morning is, how do we work? How? You know, we can either work begrudgingly or cheerfully. We can work and take care of details meticulously or sloppily. We can do it full of heart or just getting through it. But what does the Bible say about work? How do we put our heart into it? How do we start working for the Lord? We know that we can work for ourselves. We work for others. We work for our families. But how do we work for the Lord? Paul shares in Colossians 3:23, he says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for people, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, because it's the Christ Lord that you're serving." We all work at different times, different elements, different aspects of our lives, sometimes all in one day. But where are we now? I pray that as we talk, as we share this morning, giving our time, however much time you have, however many talents you have, however many treasures you have, and at different times in lives, different parts of us will be able to serve in different capacities. Where are we now in our journey? Where has God called us to work? There's a little outline for you in your bulletin that I'd love for you to share and share with the person next to you and maybe follow along. And so here we go. First of all, when we work, it's whatever works. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." God created us to work, to do something, to build something with our hands, to use our minds, to be able to utilize those gifts, to be able to contribute something to society, but also to have purpose and meaning, that whatever we do, we can be a part of something bigger than us, that work is fulfilling, that work can be a summons, that we can even be our best selves at work. You know, Lubbock is really enthusiastic right now. Texas Tech won last night. Any Red Raiders? But they're really enthusiastic about the HEB coming in. There's an HEB coming that will be in Lubbock, and people can't wait for the hot, fresh tortillas and some of the things that HEB brings. Of course, this supermarket that's from South Texas area. But as they come in, you know, HEB has a very phenomenal way of looking at work. Whether you're a bagger, a cashier, or a CEO, they believe that every single person is called to work. The theology of work is that people have a purpose, something that they contribute on different levels, and we match our capacity with jobs, with availability. But that God has a purpose, sometimes in bagging groceries, that it can make a difference in someone's life, and even beginning with us. And how we view our work makes a difference. How we view our coworkers, how we treat people on the outside, but also on the inside. How we maintain appropriate boundaries, but also how we pour our life into it. So part of the theology of work is that if you're going to spend 50, 60, sometimes 40 hours at a job, might as well enjoy it. That God has a reason why you're there at that particular time. And you might not like it. Sometimes work is work. And it's not fun. And in most jobs, not every job, but most jobs, there's a 60-40 principle. There's about 60% that you don't like to get to do the 40% that you do like. And if you're lucky, then you have a job that maybe there's 40% that you don't like and 60% you do like. And if you have a better job than that, good for you. But sometimes it's not all glory. Sometimes it's not all fun. And that's why we have that higher calling, that we serve God within that mist. That when we don't feel fulfilled, when we feel struggling, like we're struggling, that's when God shows up. Because it's not just a job. If we are called with a higher calling, it's an occupation. So the scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That God created us for work, not just a job, not just killing time, but to enjoy the job that we have, whatever it is. So Ephesians 2:8, 9, just before that, says, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works." So our work will never be able to save us. Whatever we do with working, it won't save us. But we are created to do good works that will bless us and bless our world. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So what's the difference between a job and a calling? This is the difference. See, wages for sin, Romans 6:23, we work, we wage for this, and we try and try and try, and it's like we're working for sin. But when we accept that beautiful gift and receive it, it's a gift. So instead of striving and being mad and trying to work, view our job, whatever it is, as a gift. That we get to contribute to society. That we get to utilize our gifts. That we get to be the person that God called us to be at this time in our lives. Who knows what might come in the future? Who knows what happened in the past? But right here, I can be God's person because God's called me to right here. That's a gift. And then we have an opportunity to have good work. But it's not only saying it, it's actually doing it. For our work will be revealed for what it is. James 2:26 says, "As the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without deeds is dead." It's more than just thinking it. It's actually doing it. I was called to the ministry when I was a camp counselor at Sky Ranch. It's a camp out by Van, Texas, in Tyler. And I was a camp counselor with three other guys in the cabin with 16 wild boys every week. 12 weeks in the summer, kids from the Dallas area and the Houston area would come, and they were between 8 and 12-year-old boys. It was me and three other college guys. And every week, we got to swim across the lake with these crazy kids, got to teach them Bible study, got to hang from ropes and ride horses and go on the Hobie Cat, all kinds of wild, great activities. And it was so meaningful. But at the same time, it was hot. There were bugs everywhere. They were so annoying. It was amazing. And sometimes I'd say something in Bible study, and out on the ropes course, they'd say, "Hey, I thought you said this in Bible study. I thought this is what it meant to be a Christian." It was probably one of the hardest summers I've ever had. Because not only was I saying it, they were watching every single minute. And I had to check myself. Because oftentimes I'd be like, "You know, you're right. I'm not all that could be. You know, you're right. I did say that, and I'm doing this." It's called lifestyle evangelism. Sky Ranch isn't tied to denomination. It's an evangelical lifestyle ministry where the kids see the words from the counselors, but even more importantly, they see them at work. They see them in action. And I was called to ministry there specifically because so many kids, at least 8 every single week, came to the Lord, made decisions for Jesus Christ. And it wasn't me. It was God moving through me. It was like my life work. And it was then I said, you know, I don't care how much money you make, because you don't make very much as a camp counselor. I said, you know, if the Lord's leading me here, I want to do this. So it was revealed. And like I said, it's not easy sometimes. When you're at work, you're going to have bad days. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're sometimes going to miss the sales call. Sometimes you're going to fall flat on your face because work is work, and that's part of life. And the coworkers who spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week with you know you probably pretty well. And that's good because they know our intentions, they know our hearts, but it's also scary because they know us. So when we are struggling, we can simply be faithful and say, God, here is who I am. Help me be faithful to you. But the big thing is when there's tension, when they're struggling, is to keep your head. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Our work is an opportunity to witness, to show the world what's in our hearts, what's in our minds, what's in our souls. It's a beautiful gift. And all of us will fall short. None of us are perfect. When we reveal what's in our hearts, sometimes those hearts can be dark. But God's light shines in them and God's grace covers us. And so my question to us is, how is our work? Whether it's at church, at our job, or in the yard, or with our kids or grandkids. Whatever we do, may we do it with all of our heart as working for the Lord, not for people, since we know that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord. For it's the Lord Jesus Christ who we are serving. However we do it, whatever we do, I pray that we'll work it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us beautiful minds, beautiful skills to be able to apply them to work, to companies, to strategies, to people, to situations. Lord, thank you for opportunities to serve you in workplaces or in college classes or at the church. Wherever we're called to work, either with little kids or with older kids, whether with retired folks or with food, whatever it is, Lord, may we bring you the glory. And may we be called, even in the darkest of days, Lord, to show your love and show your light as we work for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all of God's people said, amen.